So how grounded are you as a person, as a spiritual being in your leadership walk, right? Leadership is a very, very personal experience. Life is a spiritual experience. And we're going to go deep and wide on that topic. So grab something to write with, bring your questions. This is 21st Century Television, live and interactive. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome to Wolf's Watch, and today we are watching the spiritual aspect of leadership, the spiritual aspect of life, where that intersects, and we have with us a special guest today to talk about the spirituality of, a lot of stuff, of life in general, of how do we bring that into what we do in business and in life. This is someone that Fortune 500 CEOs turn to do intuitive work on strategic planning, seeing their way forward in problems and in their leadership. So this is a special opportunity, and want to say a special thanks to Tracy St. Croix for joining us today. Thank you so much, Tracy. Appreciate that.
Yes, thank you for having me. This is awesome. Hi, everybody out there. Hey, put in the chat where you're from. I always love knowing where people are coming in from.
Well, and we'll find out. It looks like the one person that's watching is being shy. Never know. You know, sometimes people will respond, sometimes they don't. We're broadcasting out to six different locations, and sometimes it's really the post show where on the when they watch it recorded that they'll post a question. So if you're watching us on the replay, post a question. We watch. We'll get it answered for you. So, you know, Tracy, we just recently met, and I so enjoyed the conversation. Your energy, your bluntness, I always appreciate that. It's something that's lost a lot of times. How did you get on the path that you're on? You do work as an advisor, as a medium. You work with business people in a broad range beyond that. But we started with a business conversation when we first met, and I'm so glad that we quickly were able to move beyond the normal ho-hum business topics and get into the stuff that really counts in life. And yeah, I think really taps into more the reality of what's going on around us. The fact that it is a spiritual experience.
It is. It really is. You know, that's a big and broad, it's a big and broad question, but to shorten it down, it would be, I got voluntold that this was a part of my calling, my destiny, whatever you want to call it. And when I decided to, you know, get into this industry, or at least explore my abilities, I had no idea that it would become this. And I started taking classes with really highly recommended mentors. And you know, all of a sudden I had people who were building businesses, they started coming to me with advice because they, you know, they were like, you know, can you help me figure out what's going on with this contract? I don't understand why this guy is delaying, or what's going on with my employees in this department. You know, they were hard workers, and now suddenly XYZ is going on. What can you tell me that can help the situation? Or I get panic attacks every time I have to go in front of the board, or every time I have to speak in front of people. Can you know, help me walk me through that? And it just started, like, I started to be like a top secret club among, like, wow, CEOs and C-suites, that they were like, hi, such and such recommended that I call you. And you can tell they're somewhere because they're like,
sure,
softly. And I'm like, it's okay. You can talk loud to me. Like, I'm not going to tell anybody. I need help.
I just can see how this would play out, if nothing else, in the minds of a CEO. Maybe not in fact, but certainly I would have this. I would have a similar concern. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to go talk to the board and go, okay, board of directors, I have this great plan to move forward. I was consulting with my medium, and the conversation kind of goes away right there because everybody starts Bill, did you say medium? You know, kind of conversation where it's not really that ludicrous. I mean, we in our culture, we have come to devalue intuition, which leads to really devaluing being able to see beyond the edge.
Yeah.
I mean, I started my career working in aerospace, and we did stuff where electronically we were looking over the horizon and looking around corners and whatnot, which seemed impossible. It seemed like mythology, but it was real. And that helped me have a better appreciation of going, you know what? Not so fast. There's something to it, especially things that have been traditions for thousands of years.
Yes.
You've built up. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It is true. And I just wanted to piggyback on what you say is that, you know, it's unfortunate that a lot of societies only value logic, only value analytics, only value linear, only value tangible. And they only see what I like to call, they only see a tiny slice of that pie. And they miss out on a lot of other juiciness. Because they're not, it's like that recipe for pasta could be so much better if you just added three more things to it.
Mm. Yes. Well, it's like the world-class athlete that during interviews talks about being in flow.
Yeah.
I mean, is that part of what you're helping your clients with as they're making step and, you know, helping them see more, but also to tap into the flow of life, tap into source?
It definitely differentiates. I do what I like to call my first initial call with them, because that I have to kind of, I got to diagnose what's going on here, you know, because literally every business is going to be different. Like, what is going on here? Where do you need my help at? And what are you helping working with me is going to achieve in the long term for you? And are you, you know, because no matter what I tell them, no matter what, this is going to open up your heart to whatever you call that, higher power, source, God. It's going to allow you to tap into that flow easier.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what I've really found is, here's a secret. Most CEOs are just scared to tap into that power because it is so, like, it sits in your body like truth. And you can't run away from it. You can't outnumber intuition. You can't run away from those feelings.
Yeah. And that is scary. Firsthand experience, it's like, oh, you know, am I losing my mind? Am I, you know, people will think I'm losing my mind. It's like, you know, talking with some, I was in a situation and there was a heated argument. And I looked to a colleague of mine that was sitting next to me. And I was like, I was about to say something. And I looked over to a colleague next to me and go, I dreamt about this conversation last week. And I know what not to say. And he looked at me like he didn't know whether to relax or get a straight jacket. But he's just kind of like, and I went right in, because I had, and I went right into the conversation and took a different tact and got a different result. Cause I had dreamt about that specific situation. Is that part of how does that fit in? We talked about this a little bit pre-show, and I know I'm bouncing around a lot and
it's okay.
Kind of diving right in, but it seems like that's also part of what you're helping people wake up to.
Yes.
In the work.
And if you're listening out there, put in the chat some, maybe that intuitive nudge that you listened to, or maybe you didn't.
And Bill, thanks for being with us on the conversation and playing along too. I doubt you're the only person, but you're the only person to comment or the first one to comment. So thanks for being part of the conversation.
First one to comment. If I had a bell, you'd get the ring bell, Bill. But it is, you know, oftentimes, you know, that's a pretty cool, like, premonition that, you know, to me, that's something that, like, your soul was like, heads up, buttercup, better, please be aware of this. And I do, you know, I can't teach somebody intuition, right? I believe that we're all born with that. But what I can give them is I can give them tools to strengthen it and develop it, whatever their strength within intuition can be. everybody can use it. And I highly advise to use it. You don't have to be a professional to trust your guts, because I can tell you, some of the millionaires and the billionaires that I speak with, the one thing that they will tell you that they will not say in public at all is some of their best and some of their worst decisions have been because they either listened to or they didn't listen to that hunch. They followed whatever logic, tangible thing said go right, and they went right, and they were like, oh, Snickers. Oh, shit. Wrong decision.
Yep.
Or they followed their gut and they got gold.
Absolutely. Well, and a friend and mentor of mine, Glenn Morshower, is an actor, does very well for himself. And he's been, is one of his public speaking things that he does. You still with me?
Uh-huh.
My computer just did something odd. And it's like going, oh, no, don't tell me. We just
gotta... Spirit's in here messing around. No.
Getting a wave from but he as part of a talk that he does called the Extra Mile, keynote speech in teaching that he's been doing for 20-30 years, he talks about the whisper and how when he's listened to it, it has helped his you know, wait a minute, Eric Flournoy's with us. He knows Glenn as well. Hey, Eric, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the blessings. Back at you.
Good friend of ours in Houston.
Nice.
And, but Glenn has story after story about how listening to the whisper has led to great events in life, you know, great opportunities for work, great decisions in terms of friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
And it, and he is another person that says, look here, you know, here I'm proof positive. Part of his talk, you know, it's like, I'm proof positive that this is true. This is a true aspect of life. And you deny it at your peril, really.
It truly is. And, you know, I've talked with a lot of people in Hollywood, whether they're a celebrity or they're a producer or they're something. And I tell them, I'm like, the work that you do is working with metaphysics. It is working with intuition. You are literally invoking a spirit of somebody who does not exist, and you are bringing them into form using your body.
Yes. Allowing them to take over in a sense.
Allowing them to take over. When you're on stage or you're doing a scene, you're allowing that intuition, that following, that knowing without instruction on what you need to do next, the hair, the look, the subtle blink, whatever it is.
Yep.
Those, you know, they're everywhere in the business world and, you know, entertainment and it's, we're not taught that. We're not even taught that is even an option until we're like, you know, way out of our, you know, K through 12, most of us.
Yep. But now is this something that, is this a path in life that you thought you would be taking from a young age, or is this something that you stepped into farther along the path?
I like that term, stepped into it. I got voluntold. Is what
voluntold.
I got voluntold, man. A little bit of a backstory. The writing is written on the wall all the time, right? Uh-oh, I think we just lost Jeffrey.
No, you're fine. No. I was just spotlighting you so that you could tell your story.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, I'll stop that. We'll leave that.
I was like, oh snap. Anyway. So the writing's written on the wall, at least in my case. So the first house that I grew up in, it literally, like, we had a backyard and we had, you know, chain link fence, a little chain link fence. And on the other side of that chain link fence was a massive cemetery. I mean, I'm talking like, wow. I could put my hand over the fence and touch a grave. And across the street was another massive cemetery, one of the largest ones in the city.
Holy cow.
And then if you threw a rock and you threw it real hard, what else you want to bet was nearby there?
Church? Another cemetery?
Uh-uh.
A hospital?
A funeral home.
A funeral home, of course.
Yes. So literally, I was like, my kind of joke is I never left the spirit world. Like,
you grew up with it.
Yeah, exactly. I really did. And all my imaginary friends were not so imaginary. Like, when I look back now, I'm like, oh, you know, like, little kids don't imagine women in Victorian era proper gear walking around knowing this language. Like, kids don't come up with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's unique.
So yeah, it was very, very unique. And growing up, I always had, you know, whatever, you know, people want to call it, the gift, the shining, all of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it kind of got squashed due to, you know, going to school, and my family obviously was not going to encourage any of this nonsense. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you kind of signed a soul contract before you came in this lifetime to get some stuff done, pretty soon spirit's going to come around and, hey, it's time to do that thing you promised you were going to do before you got here. And that time came for me, and I had to clean up my life. I mean, I had to get, you know, I had to get clean and sober. I had to fix everything, basically. And when I started doing that, my gifts just started erupting. And I talk about that in my book. And luckily, I was able to find really fabulous mentors that helped me understand that, like, I wasn't going crazy, and this is what was happening with me, and here's what I could do in the meantime to help myself out. And I started taking mm-hmm. classes, and, you know, just a voracious reader and just soaking everything up, and ended up, you know, at Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Sciences in Stansted.
Oh, wow.
The real Hogwarts. It's a haunted castle in England. You stay there, you live there, you get educated there, you eat there, you sleep there, you party there, it even has its own cemetery and everything. Yes, it's straight up Hogwarts.
That is crazy.
Yes. And
I
so
love it. I've never heard of such a place. It's amazing.
Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah.
Eric, truth be told, can't leave the spirit world, but many are just not aware of it or don't want to be aware for whatever reason. Oh, so true.
Yeah, we cannot leave the spirit world. And, you know, I had told, when I figured out that, like, I was like, okay, this is a part of my path. You know, I told spirit, I said, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm only going to get trained from the cream of the crop. And so I did. And that's how I teach from. And that's, you know, just, I look for the people who I want to emulate that, or I want to encompass mm-hmm. that. And so that's how long story short, how I ended up here, which is a pretty cool place to be.
The work that you're doing. Yes, it is. It's very cool. Almost as cool as being on Wolf's Watch. I'm just kidding. I'm having some fun with you, but doing that type of work, that is truly amazing. Do you also work with helping people connect with previous lives or with those that have passed before them?
Both.
I'm starting to sound like a 19th century.
That's okay.
Victorian, you know, era person. Honestly, I don't know where that comes from.
Honestly, Jeff, like, a lot of people don't, you know, there's not a phrase book for everybody mm-hmm. to use or talk about. I just, you know, I've gotten to the point where I understand what people are asking, and that's okay.
Wait a minute. Give me a second here. Let me roll up my sleeves and stop screwing around here. I'm ready. Ready to play again.
Yes.
Let me drop a piece of my experience that'll help me step into the conversation more completely. It's like in 1989, I was in an automobile accident that left me dead on scene briefly. So I've had some experience with that, and I didn't like what I was shown, and it terrified is not a proper word. It just doesn't go deep enough for what that experience was like. And, that still didn't lead to making any changes in my lifestyle until almost a year later, but finally started a similar path from what I'm hearing you share as well. You know, needed to get clean and sober, needed to get some stuff straightened out, on what I was doing and amend my path so that I could really return to a deeper spiritual understanding and spiritual connection to life.
Yeah. Those near-death experiences, I know that they will, it was a very loud alarm for me going off.
Yeah.
And yes, I do. I like to say I'm very well trained at communicating with people's deceased loved ones and bringing through evidence that it's them. P.S. Even if you never get a reading from me, if you ever see another medium, make sure that they're actually bringing through true evidence that it's your loved one, evidence that is ungoogleable, perhaps. That's really, really good. And
something that goes beyond a cold read, because there's a lot of people that are really good at telling us what we want to hear.
They're really good at telling you what you want to hear, but you need to, you know, I get trained to bring in the details that, you know, that, you know, things that, you know, like last week I was doing a party read and this girl was like, you could not have known that we were having that conversation while you were driving here on the way here. I said, I didn't know. Spirit told me. Spirit was standing right here. And so I do that. I do have for past lives, I do have a program called, I'm having the hugest brain fart today and I can't even remember my own programs right now.
That's all right. Well, that's also partly why we got the banner going as well. It's like, hey.
I know. I'm like, my brain has been working very hard today. It's called Trust Your Magic, Not Your Mayhem. And what I do within that is I will take individuals back into a past life. Mm-hmm. Now with me, instead of it being me telling you you were this and you lived here and you did blah, 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 I'm putting you down into a mild trance state. And then I'm having you tell me the story.
So it's more of a regression into the experience.
Yes.
For your client, as opposed to saying, okay, here's you conveying to them.
Exactly.
Oh, nice.
It does nothing.
Wow. That must be powerful.
It is. It's very, very powerful for people. And because a lot of people are so used to, like, we're supposed to tell them and then they're somehow supposed to believe it. And it's like, no, you need to feel it, see it, experience, smell it, taste it, be it. For you to get the information that you need. I'll write everything down. I'll be your help guide. But I'm not going to do this for you. I'm going to do this with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I fully believe in past lives. And, you know, I fully believe if something is affecting you in this, you know, in this life, we can go back to a past life and see where same or similar issue was affecting you. What happened? How did you resolve it back then? Or what was left unresolved that you need to resolve this lifetime?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that happens a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, because I like to tell people, I'm like, you know, before penicillin, people really didn't last that long. Like modern medicine, like, you know, if you made it to 50, right. you were considered long in the tooth.
And the crazy thing is, that's really just World War II forward, right? Very recent in human history, as human history goes.
Yeah.
That we've had things that we take for advantage, like shelter, food on a regular basis, particularly penicillin and the whole class of treatments that have grown up around that save millions of lives every day.
Yeah.
From things, you know, something as simple as a deep cut could have been fatal.
Exactly.
And if it was an artery, it's like, sorry.
Sorry, bud, and especially look at women, how many women died in complications in pregnancy and childbirth before modern medicine. So
yes.
I like to say, you know, there, we can still go back and investigate, but we got some cool stuff this life. Enjoy it.
Yes. We do. and Kate, but it's an excellent point. Occasionally there are things that we get wrapped around the axle with that could tie back to, hey, this is unresolved. This is something that I brought into this lifetime with me, and it is causing a problem because of that.
Yes, it definitely does. And usually a lot of people, especially business people, will bump up against that in business, in scaling and growing their business. They'll usually bump up against something. And
why do you have a sense of why that is, of why that would be common, or maybe not common, but where a higher percentage perhaps than in the general population would bump up against that?
Generally, then for like people who are CEOs or, you know, producers, things like that, they're bumping into higher stakes issues.
Okay.
Is what it is. It's higher stakes than, say, you know, somebody who is just, you know, working at an average job as an administrator or whatever, you know, working in a daily office. They're probably not under the same type of pressure. And so I will find that they bump up. And I've got my top five that I usually see that they're bumping up against these issues. And usually it has to do with past issues about, you know, either, you know, being in a class where you couldn't climb up the ladder, or you weren't able to, or, you know, whatever stopped it, family dynamics, religion, whatever it is,
yes,
they have, that they can see this lifetime, and it's like, now you got an opportunity to set some boundaries and say no and look at it for what it is.
Well, so it's in a situation where, I mean, from a, in business, like it's particularly owning a business, that forces such a deep dive into who I am, you know, stepping up in any high visibility leadership role is such a different experience. And it took me a while to get the fishbowl nature of that and how it exposes really deep stuff that I have to deal with in order to be effective as a leader. So so some of those pressures are part of that.
Yeah. One of my favorite sayings that a mentor ever said to me was, when you level up, there's a new devil up. You got to bump. You're going to you're going to bump into it.
When you level up, you're going to devil up. Yeah. Wow.
When you level up, there's a new devil up. So, So, you know, a lot of times people, you know, they come to me for a myriad of issues, but a lot of times in the professional world, it's, you know, hair on fire, pants on fire, because I'm about to, you know, sign a potentially, you know, multi-million dollar deal that will set my family's legacy for, you know, 3-4 generations down the line. And I am losing my shit because I am fearful, or this, you know, something is blocking me, or, you know, or I don't want to be seen that much. And I know, you know, a lot of people in Hollywood, well, this is going to, you know, expose this, or I'm afraid of that's going to be exposed. And,
or I just don't want to stand up out front like that because I know what kind of shit it attracts when you're leading out front. And it's like, it's just not worth it.
I tell
a lot. It is, and I don't really have a choice anyway.
People to check your social media and do things like that, that will take a lot of it, like, off of your plate.
Make a fake Tim Gillette saying hello.
Yeah. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for being part of the conversation, buddy. Always good to see you.
Oh, yes. I tell them make, you know, fake social media accounts and go through things that way. Don't.
Well, it's, I can see where it's that deeper part of it, of the, how can I put it in a way that it's just the bigger the leadership role, and the bigger the visibility, the less mobility you have because of the fishbowl effect. People are watching every single thing. I came to have an appreciation for what it takes to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, where you have tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people working for you, massive fishbowl from inside the company, from outside the company, from stockholders, analysts, all this stuff. And it's like, you know, it's like, oh, did you see that? She changed her scarf from red to blue. Does that mean the company's in trouble? And it's like, what? Crazy stuff like that. where it just puts so much more pressure on people, which again comes back to that, just like having being in life-threatening situations, right? It's a different type of squeeze that most people don't experience. And for those that do, when you get squeezed like that, you get to, you know, you get to find out what really is inside.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tell people a lot, just, you know, prepare yourself. Just make sure you've got a really great team around you, whatever that looks like. You know, maybe, you know, I always say, check your top five stress points that can be managed. Is it, you know, the news? Is it the social media? Is it the gossip in the company? Is it the gossip from competitors? Is it stuff in your own home? What can we manage out and work from there? Nice.
Sage advice.
Sometimes I tell a lot of these CEOs, I'm like, you're not getting out of this. Like, you can try and sell this company, but it ain't going to happen. You built it.
Wherever I go, there I am.
Wherever you go, there you are.
We have a question from Bill, from Bill Koppel.
Okay.
About how common are near-death experiences? So you said three.
Minimally.
It's still cognitively functioning. So it'd be how common are, I think the core question there is, how common are near-death experiences with people? Because it seems... There's two effects. It seems like you're the only person on the planet that's had anything like that. And then meeting other people, when I started to talk about that more, then I met other people, met a gal from the East Coast that wrote a book on life after life. And it's like, okay, wow. Then it seems like everybody experiences it. And know that those two extremes can't be accurate, but is it really super rare or is it more common?
I think it's more common than people actually talk about, for sure. There is an organization that just specifically is for people who have had near death experiences, so that people can connect and, you know, feel like there is a community. And hopefully that name will just drop into my head, because I can only see the acronym in my head and I'm just brain farting on it. But it is, I feel like it's a lot more common than what people expect. And, you know, it doesn't always come with, like the gentleman was just saying, it doesn't always come with these wide range of epiphanies, and suddenly I have this realization I have to go and do this massive goal in my life or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's other complications that come with it.
You know? Well, I know for me, it was, so here the, you know, all it's common for people to see the, you know, they meet either spirits or, you know, past relatives that are welcoming them. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, there's all this wonderful imagery. And my experience was intense dread, the sense of slowly falling, and the dread was increasing. And then I heard somebody shout, and suddenly I was gasping, you know, I couldn't breathe, and suddenly I was gasping for air, and which scared the hell out of the people that had gathered. Los Angeles, right? They gathered around the car to see the dead crushed guy in the car. And when all of a sudden I started breathing again, everybody split and left me crushed, you know, stuck inside the car on the side of the road.
Oh no, at least there wasn't cell phones.
But this was before cell phones.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. So no YouTube or anything like that.
Yeah. No kidding.
It was just, it was not a pleasant experience, to put it mildly. It was a horrifying experience.
Yeah.
And I've heard other people talk about it. People write about it, and with these really fluffy, wonderful imagery experiences, I'm like going, I don't know. I mean, it's just that it wasn't on my dance card at that time.
Yeah. You're like, I don't get that. That's, you know, that's part of an ego death is the way I would see it. Mm-hmm. You know, the way that, I've done like plant medicine with ayahuasca and psilocybin and things like that to help with healing and spirituality and a lot of growth. And that is exactly what happens when you're having an ego death in a plant medicine trip. You feel like sometimes like you're falling.
Okay. I have several friends that have participated in ayahuasca ceremonies, and actually one in our group of friends, one of the gals actually spends a fair amount of her time leading those ceremonies. Yeah. So,
and we talk a lot about that, like the ego will fight for its life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what part of its job is to help us survive. It's not just a part of our personalities. It helps us survive and thrive, but the trick is we have to train it.
And there's that. And to be honest, one of the messages that I took away from that experience was a reaffirmation of there is evil in the world. And I've rubbed shoulders with it at times.
There are some very evil people.
In my misspent youth, you know, some of the people that I ran with, I go, you know what? They were just flat out evil, bad, not nice people that, you know, did things that would make people go, oh no, people don't do stuff like this. Oh yeah, no, trust me. firsthand observer, you would be amazed.
I mean,
so that was one of the messages I took from that.
Yeah. And there are people who do very, very evil, evil things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll never know the answers why, but near-death experiences are a lot more common than what.
Thank you for pulling us back from the edge on it too. I was just thinking, good. Let's see if we can get this a little bit more positive direction again.
And so, you know, they're very common. And I would say if you're looking for community, I'm hoping that name just pops into my head.
What is that? Do you have information about that available on your website?
I do not. Okay. I don't think so. No. But it's a national organization, and I've worked with them a bit before, a long time ago. But
as you're watching this, to get more information about that, reach out to Tracy through her website. You can contact her and she'll help you connect with that organization.
Yeah. You can find me.
Just amazing how closed we've become as a culture to discussions like this and to the reality of the spiritual nature of life. I mean, it was more, we joked a little bit about Victorian era earlier, you know, even then 125 years ago, it was far more common. And it seemed culturally at large, even though there were many, there was much more religious discipline and reverence in the culture at large. At the same time, there was also a much bigger, more open spirituality movement.
Yes.
It kind of went hand in hand with that in some ways.
It did. So spirituality, you know, the spiritualists out of the spiritualist church hit the ground running here in the United States in about the mid to late 1800s. You can look up, early spiritualist pioneers that are out there. Andrew Jackson. Nope, not the president. But if you dig far enough, you will find there are some very interesting historical figures that were playing around with the spiritualist and the paranormal societies. Thomas Edison, Tesla, a lot of big name folks. But the spiritualists hit the ground, and they, you know, as a part of the spiritualist religious background is communing with spirits. And so what they were bringing as a part of their religion was ways to communicate with the dead. So you started seeing a lot of seances, and you started seeing a lot of more tarot and a lot more of the tappings and the rappings and all of that. And yeah, it did become a lot of vaudeville and into the, you know, the circus back tent type of things. But I mean, high society was going to see these very, very well-known psychic mediums. And,
Edgar Casey was one of the.
Edgar Casey was in the 1940s, and he did a lot
much more.
He did a lot of channeling messages about the spirit world and from people in the spirit world, mostly having to do with missing in action soldiers from World War II. And it just kind of bloomed everywhere. The spiritualist movement was big, strong, and heavy. It was big, strong, and heavy to the point where Houdini went to Congress in a committee and tried to outlaw, tried to outlaw mediums and psychics because he was mad because he could not find a medium who could connect with his dead mother. And so he proclaimed that all of them were charlatans and they shall all be banished. Well, hell have no fury like a pack of spiritualists. And so they basically, they said, And so a lot of them started to congregate on DC while these meetings were going on. And so back then, literally you could sit outside the doors of these committees and go into these committees for these committee meetings. Right. And that's, and that's what they did. And fights ensued, some fists got thrown. Oh yeah. But eventually Houdini lost out.
Wow.
Yeah. I have a TikTok video if you guys want to go and watch it. It's very, very, it's a shocker ending. I won't share it here, but you can go find it there.
So, and where would we search for that?
My TikTok.
What name? Under your name, name or?
Same name everywhere.
Tracy St. Croix on TikTok. You want to go see that and then come back. Yes. And watch, if you're watching this on replay, go watch that. Then come back and watch the rest of this.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to miss what's coming up next.
Yeah. He messed around and found out, y'all.
Yep. So what you mentioned earlier about the over-reliance on logic, and even people like Einstein and other great minds of our time from the hard sciences have written about how the more they dig into the nature of reality, the more that it indicates that there is way more to it.
Yes.
You know, a living force throughout the universe, that there is order where there seems to be chaos. So I've been partial to the phrase, loosely controlled chaos in the universe. And it seems that that should bring us full circle back to an openness of exploring past lives. What happens after, what happens after death, to being more open to working with mediums, to just exploring, exploring beyond what we can see and measure.
There is, one of my mentors used to say, if only everybody could explore the non-ordinary realities that are right in front of you every single day in plain sight. And there are a lot of historical figures that will tell you, like, they weren't tinkering in their workshops all day long. I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and I go, I think that people even 100 years ago or even 60 years ago would be stunned at the amount of lack of physical activity that we do and the amount of mental agility that we have to do with phones and computers. And that's where our energy goes into. And we don't go out, going outside and going for walks and
life has become much more in here, where in their lives it was, it was strictly almost all out there.
Yeah. It had to be out there because they had to be constantly, like, either looking for food, making sure that they were safe, all of that.
Yep.
They didn't have time.
Working the farm, because if you wanted to eat, you had to grow it, or you had to grow some of it because you weren't going to be able to buy all of it at market.
Yep.
Which meant, guess what? You're up before the sun and you're working while there's still light to get stuff done.
Yep. And so it's a very, very interesting times we live in, I like to say.
Yes.
But I would, I love living here because I can do what I do freely and be open about it. And
yeah. Right. Right. And there have been times where that wasn't true.
There have been times where it's been not so true, but it's, I'm grateful to people who have produced shows and come out with all the ghost hunting and the mediumship shows that are high quality, that have kind of opened the door and at least let people see, like, there's a lot more out here. And we're not so, we're not hiding in the back alley rooms anymore. We're not hiding in, the circus tents anymore. We're like We're your neighbors.
And we're inviting you over for dinner, right? So we're exactly. neighbors and we're gathering around and breaking bread and having good conversations.
Yes.
But speaking of shows, you have a show as well, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do.
Was it the Haunted House Road Trip?
Now,
did I get that right?
Almost. You no. got it almost right. You got it almost
bad
right.
Bad host.
It is the Haunted Road Trip Show.
The Haunted Road Trip Show. As much as I love road trips, how could I not get that right? The Haunted Road Trip Show.
Yes. And
what could be the only thing better than a road trip would be a haunted road trip.
That's right. Haunted Road Trip Show. And so it is two parts to it. There is podcast part that you can watch now on any of your preferred streaming networks. And then we are filming season one with the on-site investigations. And we are currently open to sponsorship. So if you think that you would like to be a sponsor of the show, contact me. We'll set up a discovery call and see if our audiences meet up.
Well, tell us some more about how that comes about. What am I trying to say? What's the show like? So when I'm watching an episode, as you're filming, will that stream, or is it going to go to broadcast? Is it still in negotiation?
It is going to go to a few different destinations. Okay. I've been picked up by a couple of streaming platforms.
Congratulations.
I cannot talk about it. Too much of it right now.
Yeah, no, understand and how that works.
Coming back on, I can talk about it in a little while. So I've been picked up by streaming platforms, and I'm sure that it's probably going to end up on YouTube somehow as well. And so,
but in terms of watching it, what will I see when I'm watching an episode? What can I expect?
Cool shit. But
cool shit. All right, I like it. I like it already.
Exactly.
That's a great start.
So what you're going to see is you're going to see being taken on a journey with me and with other fellow psychic mediums that I have on the show. And what we're there to do at locations is we're there to help spirits have their best afterlives. We're there to help, you know, the people that are there to be able to communicate confidently and coherently with the spirits that are there so that they can understand what each other needs. And we go into these places and we see, like, what is going on here? Is there a spirit that just kind of popped in on an object that you bought at an estate sale? Or, you know, is this something associated with the land that wants to be protective, but it's, you know, its behavior is coming out pretty angry and aggressive? And we help to kind of sort that out and kind of be therapists of the spirit world, kind of. And helping
Interesting.
Mediate their wants and needs to the humans. And sometimes we're like, hey, you gotta go. You know, this behavior, no more. But we teach people how to set boundaries and limits. And we, you know, our premise is to bring the spirit world forth in a way that people have never seen before that takes the fear out of it and puts more of the curiosity and the imagination and the inquisitiveness into it.
I like
versus everything's gonna, you know, hurt me. Cause I like to tell people a lot when they say, oh my God, that's so scary. I'm like, how many people have you known that died because they were killed by a ghost? Name them.
Can't name a one personally.
Can't name a one.
As you're watching this, how many do you know?
Yeah. How many people do you know that have actually died from, you know, I can believe that somebody could get scared to death, but
it just, it comes back to it at the very worst, it is extremely rare.
Yeah.
That there's a malevolence great enough to to do harm, to certainly do fatal harm.
There's a lot of, you know, and we could have long talks about free will and setting boundaries and things of that sort. I mean, it's more often I've seen spirits step in to help save people's lives or save them from danger versus wanting to push them into a malicious situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have seen spirits who have been very protective, like, nope, this is my room and you're not coming into it. And if you come into it, well, this is what you're going to get.
Shiitake might happen then, because now you're right. Somebody else is bound to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we help to take the fear out of it and put more of the curiosity, the, mm-hmm. oh, okay, that makes more sense. The empowering people.
Yes. Versus- now the show's two parts. So that's the video, the broadcast part, if you will, or TV show part of it. Does the podcast follow a similar format?
The podcast follows a lot of interviews and conversations with other fellow psychic mediums, mm-hmm. just talking about, like, how did we meet, and just rando questions about the world. And then I play in, you know, games with them, intuitive games. I have one that's called Book It or Book It, or Are We Gonna Book It, where we look at old houses and determine if we're going to stay there or not. and we just talk about things that I hear most questioned by people, because I want to get other okay. people's perspectives on it, and I like talking about it. Mm-hmm. And then I also have another part of the show that I'm filming called I haven't named it yet, but it's like listeners call in and they're on the show and they talk about their paranormal experiences that they've had and what has happened. Yeah. What has happened to them. And so I love it.
Yes. Well, and it gives them an outlet to talk about something that people look at them and go, are you sure about that, Bob? You know, so instead of getting mocked or someone going, yeah, maybe we should take you to see the therapist about that. Can actually have a conversation with you.
Yeah. And they love to share their stories in a way that they get them out and maybe it'll help somebody. I don't know. That's my point, sure. But you never know.
Can't imagine that it wouldn't help.
I think that it does, because it allows people to go, okay, somebody else had a similar incident and I'm not so mm-hmm. crazy.
Yes. Wow, that's great. Being able to call in and go, hey, look, I had this experience. I want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, on the Haunted Road Trip Show website, there is an application that you can fill out if you want to share your story for free.
Can they get to that website through your
Tracy St. Croix? No, we've kept them kind of separate.
Okay, so that would be
Haunted Road Trip.
Haunted Road Trip. Let me see if I can get this correct this time. Haunted Road Trip.
Trips with an S, show with an S. So double S.
Trips. Okay. Very good. I am searching for this live on broadcast as you're watching this. Yes, this is me live searching for something on the internet, which will also add to my ever expanding blooper reel, I have no doubt.
It's pretty easy to find.
It is. It's just a couple different options here. And with the glasses that I'm wearing right now, the screen I'm looking at is just far enough away to make it a challenge.
Oh no.
But I want to ask more about your personal, your website that is kind of your main hub for what you're doing, Tracy St. Croix. What will people find there?
People are going to find a whole lot of goodies there. So first and foremost, if you want to stay on the A-list and you sign up to be on my newsletter, you automatically are going to get 7 free tips and tricks to help help increase your intuition right away in your mailbox. Then you're going to be set up on my A-list. So you're going to be getting all the goodies and the invites and the newsletters and the you know, the coupons and all of that good stuff. You can go to my website. You can also investigate me. So I'm not hard to find at all. You know, you can look at my services, different programs, different classes that I offer. You can schedule online with me.
Now, what are some of the classes?
So I do intuitive development classes. And
okay, tell me more about intuitive development. I think I know what that means.
So basically what that means is exactly what you think it means, is when you want to take that knowingness, that I seem to, you know things, or I dream about things a lot, and I want some structure around it. That's what I help teach people. I help them understand what different gifts are, help them figure out what sorts out their own mechanics, is what I say. Because everybody is an intuitive, your car is going to run differently than my car. I'm just going to give you the tools to figure out how your car drives best. And we go over all the typical things, over all the different abilities that are out there, you know, the misnomers, the myths. We go over different divination tools that are available to work with. We go over setting limits and boundaries with people and with the spirit world. We go over the many, many myriad of ways that intuition can play out in your life. We have a lot of really juicy, open-ended conversations. You know, I do teach how to kind of read your own cards a little bit through mini readings. And yeah, I like to say I throw the kitchen sink at you. And what you guys get is what I love the most about this is you get your little litter mates. So there's other people that are in there. So you know, you kind of grow your intuitive abilities with people you bond with in the class.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. It's so important to be able to regain, at the very least, to be able to regain trusting my intuition, to be more fine-tuned with that. It makes a huge difference.
It honestly does. And that, and I tell people, when you open the door to develop your intuition, that's not really what you're doing. What you're really doing is you're learning how to trust yourself. That's what I am, you know, that's what my goal is for you to trust yourself versus external things or even an old program that's running around in the head.
Sure.
Trust that whisper, trust the quiet voice. Don't trust the yelling people. You know, trust
so that I can be more self-reliant, which will help me have much more healthy self-esteem, I would imagine.
Well, it really does. It helps, you know, people spot red flags easier, whether that's in business or personal relationship. It allows them to be kinder to themselves as well, you know.
Like a friend of mine once told me, he goes, look, when the kids won't, you know, if you've got small children and if they refuse to sit on Uncle Freddy's lap, don't make them sit on Uncle Freddy's lap, you know, the lap. They know their radar is working. As adults, we screen that out.
Yeah.
If your name's Fred, I apologize. I'm not picking on men named Fred. It's just an example.
I like to say something
to offend everyone.
I do. Listen to your kids. I can't tell you how many clients I call and they send me security tape videos or their kids talking to, you know, spirits in the middle of the night. And I'm like, of course they can. They've got, you know, that's their world.
They're still plugged in.
They're still very much plugged in.
And to be able to recapture that, if nothing else, as you're watching this, wouldn't your life be a lot better if you were able to regain that childish sense of wonder and the intuitiveness that you approached life with as a kid and be able to do that as an adult, especially with everything that I like as an adult today, knowing what I know now, if I could, you know, the more that I regain that sense of childish, childlike wonder, it's not that it's childish, childlike wonder, and can trust myself, can plug into my intuition, into the spiritual nature of life around me. Oh my gosh, the stuff that opens up in life that becomes available, accessible, is, I would imagine, is just amazing.
It is amazing. I tell a lot of people, even when you start to, you know, develop your intuition, or, you know, even when you, even if it's just as simple as personal growth, whether that's therapy or group therapy or whatever that it is, you know, you're learning how to reparent yourself in a kinder and more gentler way, which is in turn going to allow you to hear that whisper a little easier and treat yourself just a little bit kinder and trust that, you know, trust your inner voice. Because I work with a lot of people who grew up in a situation where they weren't allowed to trust themselves for whatever reason.
Yeah. It was either not encouraged or some extreme cases just simply wasn't safe.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
there's the gamut.
You know, whether it's, you know, gaslighting or narcissistic parents or chaotic, abusive situations or, you know, whatever it is, mom's checked out, dad's never at home, I'm, you know, cooking dinner at 5 years old for myself, you know, whatever it is, we'll sort through it. I always like to say, we'll get your inner kids that trip to Disney World.
hey, there you go. We'll get there. I like the sound of that. How about getting that inner kid a trip on a double-masted schooner in the Caribbean?
That's right. Whatever, you know, whatever you want. I think my inner kid, when I finally got to fly, it wasn't first class, it was business class. And I remember acting so cool at the counter, being like, yeah. And then on the inside, my inner kids are like, oh my God, we climbed up to dad.
Yeah.
And that was when I realized, I was like, okay, we are never flying coach again internationally. And I haven't since, because I'm nope.
Yeah, especially on long flights.
International flights, no way. My body can't take that no more.
Yep. And doesn't have to.
No, it doesn't have to. And that's what I told myself. I was like, no, we've paid our penance. We don't have to do that anymore.
And I've got another comment from Eric. He said, love that line, voluntold.
That's right. You got
voluntold. Hashtag voluntold.
Oh, I like that. I might have to start that as a hashtag as well, just to see if people ask me what it is on there.
Yep.
Yeah. The spirit world is all around us. Not going to, you know, not going to hurt us.
Nope. Helps us. And even sometimes when it causes problems, it sounds like it was with the intention of helping.
Sometimes, I mean, there's, you know, there's all kinds of different scenarios that can happen. You know, I never know what's going to happen until I get on site and really start to see what, you know, what am I dealing with? You know, what's going on here with the land? What's, you know, digging into the history of things? What are the dynamics of the people who are either living here or business here? What are those dynamics? What, you know, we got to look at the whole picture. You know, you can't just come and blame the spirit.
Coming back to our discussion earlier about leadership, right? In it's something that when I was younger, I mean, I get tuned into this more and more. As a leader, it always comes back to me, right? I always have a role in it. I've got some influence, no matter what the circumstance was afterwards, you know, in the moment, ideally, if nothing else afterwards, I want to seriously take a look at, okay, here's what happened. How did I influence that? What am I learning so that I can do something different next time? Because I always have an influence.
Yes.
Right. There's always options. I always have alternatives. It's one of my, it's like whenever somebody tells me, well, you have to, it's like, oh, hey, let me roll up. He said, I'll play. I have to, huh? But it's, you know, to have that perspective about things. So even in matters of the spirit or spirituality, there's still, I still have an influence. I still have a role to be mindful of and to learn from and to be active in.
Some of the best, and that's exactly, some of the best leaders that I've seen, whether they're CEOs or celebrities or, you know, whatever that they are.
Or, you know, or that person that lives down the block that everybody loves, that's always doing stuff for people, that has people coming to their house all the time.
They're very self-aware.
Yep.
They're, you know, and I, please don't get me wrong. Nobody is perfect, right? We
sure,
all come
of course.
With our flaws.
Welcome to the human condition, right?
Yeah. Welcome to being human. But some, you know, it's a beautiful thing when you can sit back and you have to go, you know, what was my part in that? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's, you know, shit happens. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, or I was in the right place at the right time. And this fabulous thing happened.
Yep. But and because I was plugged in or aware, I was able to go, there's a wonderful thing happening.
Yeah.
And dive right in.
There is, and there's an essence with some of the best leaders that I've worked with. They've really been able to take a step back. And the one thing is they've learned how to not allow their emotions to rule the situation. They've not made a lot of hard judgment calls simply based on emotion. They've learned how to, you know, step back from the heat of the moment, whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent, right? We're selling our company. We're getting $1 billion. Holy shit, right? They've learned how to be like, okay, I got to step back. I got to have my lawyer look at this because I'm not, you know, I've got a whole different perception about this or whatever it is. Or whether it's, you know, you're dealing with somebody in the company you just found out is defrauding you or has been defrauding the project. And, you know, you've got to step back and deal with your emotions first before you can come at that at a, you know, with a higher emotional IQ is always what I say. I say, go release that anger somewhere and then come back.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Tracy, I'm watching the clock. We've been running over, and I appreciate your being gracious about that. We got a late start. We have to, you mentioned it, and I made a note. It's like, we have to do this again. We just barely scratched the surface.
I would absolutely love it. If people want to put into the comments topics or anything that they would like for us to discuss in the future.
Yes. As you're watching this, there's going to be at least one more conversation. So what do you want to see? What do you want to have included in that?
Yes. Right? And if you don't know, 21st
Century Television, live and interactive.
That's right.
Bring your questions in your notebook.
That's right. And if you don't know the questions, have your partner or your wife watch this and she'll give you plenty of questions to ask. Or your kids.
There you go. Yeah, especially the kids, huh? They'll be all over it.
Yes.
They'll be all over it. So TracySaintCroixMedium.com to connect with Tracy, stay connected and find out what she has coming up next. The Haunted Road Trips shows. I got it.
You got it.
I got it. The Haunted Road Trips shows. It's a podcast and soon to be streaming TV show. You don't want to miss that. So be connected with that as well. But it all starts with TracySaintCroixMedium.com. Tracy, thank you so much for an insightful, fun, powerful conversation.
Yes. Thank you for having me. All right. Look forward to seeing y'all next time.
And thank you for watching this and being part of the conversation on Wolf's Watch. I'm Wolf, and I will see you on the trail.